record.
Good morning. We'd like to take a moment of silence to remember the son of Adrian Peterson, who was senselessly killed on Friday because of an abusive adult. This moment of silence goes out not only to Adrian Peterson's son, but for everybody who was a victim of child abuse.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game. I'm perturbed. Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Ham, and Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino. John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
And here we go.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, week 6. Boy Chris Espo, with me as always, Will.
Good morning.
And Joe is slowly inching his way back over.
I'm here.
not going to be as jovial like we normally are. It's a tragic state of events with Adrian Peterson's son. For the sake of the Peterson family, the name of the child has not been released. And rightfully
and it
so.
Be.
Yeah, exactly. The outpouring of support has been amazing. We actually put on the Facebook page what Adrian Peterson had gone on to say about thanking everyone. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't have the article pulled up, that the NFL is a fraternity of brothers, so to speak, and everybody's been amazing to help him out. And we also put on the Facebook page that if anybody wants to help the Peterson family in the tragedy, there is a donation spot that you can do.
It wasn't a donation spot. It was to write your congressmen and governors about actually getting something done about people who are accused of child abuse and make sure that they're not around children anymore, basically.
Exactly. And this is something that could have been avoided. I mean, from what I was reading, and again, everything is spotty at best. You're not really going to have too much coming through until, I mean, after it'll the sting will never go away, so to speak. But after
right.
a while, more things will come out and be said. And this guy had actually done this before.
To a three-year-old
exactly.
about a year ago.
He's an animal. We don't condone animal behavior on any scale on this show. So,
yeah. And as a parent, speaking for myself, I can't imagine what I would do if something happened to my son, and who's about the same age. So it kind of hits home a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. But to try and brighten the mood a little bit, the Vikings are going to kill the Panthers today.
Absolutely. If Adrian Peterson starts, and he said officially, this was before his son had passed away, that he intended on playing this Sunday anyway. And if he doesn't start today, I could completely understand. If he does start today, traditionally what we've seen in the NFL in the past few years is whenever a family member passes away for a player, they come out and just have a completely beast game.
Yeah, and Torrey Smith had that happen last year on Monday Night Football.
That's right.
His brother passed away, and he wound up playing, and I think he had about 150 yards receiving and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Torrey Smith was on record as saying that the best way to remember the fallen is to keep playing. It's almost like therapy to get away from things. And honestly speaking, I think that's the best thing for Adrian Peterson right now, is to just try to get as much as fresh as it is still,
right,
get back to a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's one thing to lose a brother. Brett Favre lost his father the night before a Monday night game.
Right.
Had a complete beast game. I think he had like 500 yards and like six touchdowns or something ridiculous. I fully expect Adrian Peterson to have about 400 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns. So, but yeah, either way, very sad situation. AP, best to you and your family.
Absolutely.
And with that being said, we are now going to move into the reviews of last week's games. Let's start off with St. Louis and Jacksonville. You want to talk about that at all?
Just that St. Louis winning kept me alive in the survival pool.
That's right. That's right. Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne each had, Chad Henne came in for Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert actually was running. He went on a rollout, and he said, and I quote, "I felt and heard something pop."
Yeah, that's
not
never good.
Good. That's not never good. Especially when combined, the three quarterbacks they have don't even equal one quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, they're in bad shape.
Yeah, so Sam Bradford, 19 of 34 for 222 yards and 3 touchdowns. Looking at the rushing stats, nothing really screams out.
MJD finally had a day.
He had a decent day. I mean, 17 rushes for 70 yards.
I'll take that considering the fact that he hasn't rushed for over 50.
Yeah. Zach Stacy came out of nowhere, 14 rushes for 78 yards.
Zach Stacy is the new hot-button fantasy guy because Darrell Richardson has been demoted to second string. Zach Stacy is starting this week against Houston.
Welcome back, Justin Blackmon. 5 grabs, 136 yards, and a touchdown.
Man, if they just get a quarterback,
it could be dangerous.
A quarterback, and well, Luke Jokel's out for the season now.
Right.
That also happened.
Right.
If they could just get a quarterback and an offensive line, Justin Blackmon can carry that team. He was a beast in Oklahoma State, and he's shown that if he can keep himself out of trouble, stupid, you have a chance to be one of the premier wide receivers in the league.
Absolutely. And then you go look down at Cecil Shorts, 5 grabs, 74 yards on a touch. St. Louis, Austin Pettis, 4 grabs, 49 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lance Kendricks, 3 grabs, 37 yards on a touchdown. And that's pretty much it. Nothing really stands out as far as
and honestly, that game except it for shouldn't have only because it's St. Louis and Jacksonville.
Yeah, but you expect something, you know. Bengals beat the Patriots 13-6. Ends Tom Brady's streak of, 52 games with a touchdown?
Yeah, thank God, first of all.
That's a big shit-eating grin you got there.
Oh, that's delicious. And I said this last week, all Andy Dalton does is beat Super Bowl-caliber quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and what does he do
here
again? Beats him again. And Andy Dalton had a decent day.
20 of 27, 212 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. Tom Brady, 18 of 38 for 197 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception.
Funny thing in this game was the weather played a huge role at the tail end of the game.
Yeah.
On the last two drives for New England, I mean, the skies opened. It was monsoon torrential downpour. That
right.
If one little flash of lightning would have happened, they would have suspended the game.
Absolutely.
And as soon as he throws that last pick, Tom Brady, as soon as the Bengals catch the ball, it stops raining. It was like straight on movie roll type of thing.
Kind of God was suddenly a Bengals fan.
No, God just hates the Patriots. Good.
For the Patriots, LeGarrette Blount was the leading rusher, 12 rushes for 51 yards. For Cincinnati, the law firm, 19 rushes, 67 yards, 1 touchdown. And Giovanni Bernard, who had a monster game the week before, goes down to pedestrian levels at 13 rushes for 62 yards. No receiving touchdowns in this game. The receiving leader for both teams was A.J. Green, 5 grabs of 61 yards. Other than that, really not much to mention. So we will move on to Kansas City beating up on Tennessee 26-17. Kansas City remains undefeated at 5-0.
And
Alex Smith is 5-0.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm loving it. I really am. The thing with that game is the score, even though it's a 9-point game, was a lot closer throughout than that score really dictated. It was a great game, and Kansas City's defense is faux real.
Absolutely. Alex Smith, 20 of 39 for 245 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception. Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Titans, 21 of 41, 247 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. The rushing stats, Jamal Charles had a great day, 22 rushes, 108 yards, and a touchdown. And for the Tennessee Titans, now I take issue with this. Your starting quarterback was your leading rusher, and your starting quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick. 6 rushes for 50 yards and a touchdown. Receiving stats, again, another one of these games where there's really not much to talk about receiving. Donnie Avery had 3 grabs for 91 yards for Kansas City. And Kendall Wright, 6 grabs for 74 yards for Tennessee. Chris Johnson had the only receiving touchdown of the game. He had 4 receptions for 63 yards. So very pedestrian game pretty much overall. Then we will go on to the Eagles beat up on the Giants, 36-21.
Giants were leading at one point in this game, and it was 21-20. And Vic got hurt. Vic gets hurt, and Giant fans, I'm looking at one right now, hey, this is our first game.
Yep.
And then Nick Foles comes in.
And Nick Foles had a day. He had a day. 16 completions, 25 attempts, 197 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Eli Manning, 24 of 52, 334 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Eli, stop. You're killing us. Rushing stats, before Michael Vick got hurt, he was the leading rusher for the game, 7 rushes for 79 yards. LeSean McCoy, 20 rushes for 46 yards. That's a bad day. He had the lone rushing touchdown. For the Giants, I don't even know why we're going to talk about this, but 11 rushes for 37 yards for Jacobs. David Wilson, 6 of 16 for a touchdown.
What we need to talk about in that game is the fact that David Wilson scores his first rushing touchdown of the season, does 2 backflips, and now is out for the season with a vertebrae fracture in his neck. The vertebrae is actually so close to his spinal column now that they're afraid that if he took another bump, he would be paralyzed, so he has to get surgery to alleviate.
Good job, a-hole. Receiving stats, DeSean Jackson, big day. 7 grabs, 132 yards and a touchdown. Brent Celek, 3 grabs, 47 yards and a touchdown. Moving over to the Giants. Reuben Randle kind of comes out of his shell. 6 grabs, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hakeem Nicks, beast day. 9 grabs, 142 yards.
Yeah, and in this game, in my big money fantasy league, I had LeSean McCoy and Hakeem Nicks. LeSean McCoy kind of shit the bed for me, but Hakeem Nicks picked up the slack, which was major.
Yeah. I just wish the Giants as a whole would pick up the slack. They are killing me.
Didn't get any better week 6.
No, it didn't. We'll get into that later. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm on NFL.com right now. And just, is there anything better? Christina Hendricks, who's on Mad Men, is...
She is tasty.
She is my favorite actress right now. Like, okay. I just find her to be fantastic. And what's better than her than NFL.com? Her being on NFL.com for no damn reason. So
Absolutely.
Thank you, NFL.com.
There you go. Good looking out.
Happy Sunday.
Well, I hear she scored 2 touchdowns last week.
God knows she could have scored at least 2 touchdowns for the Giants.
Yeah, right. Moving on.
New Orleans Saints beat out the Bears 26-18. Looking at this, Drew Brees. You know, I want to say it's almost an average day for him. 29 of 35 for 288 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jay Cutler for the Bears. This is a monster day for him. 24 of 33, 358 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey was the big ticket item this week for the Bears. He had over 200 yards receiving.
10 grabs, 218 yards and a touchdown.
Understand that's 21.8 yards per reception. That's
yes.
Beefy.
That's beyond beefy. That's way beyond beefy. Receiving stats for the Saints, Jimmy Graham, 10 grabs, 135 yards, no touchdowns. Pierre Thomas, 9 receptions, 55 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rushing stats, very pedestrian, all over the place. Pierre Thomas for the Saints, 19 rushes for 36 yards. No rushing touchdowns in this game. Matt Forte, 12 attempts for 55 yards. He's the leading rusher for the Bears. Brandon Marshall also scored a touchdown in this game. He had 4 grabs for 30 yards receiving. So, again, you look at somebody's stats and you kind of sit there and wonder, how did the score wind up being as big as it was?
Right.
It's got to be all defensive, obviously. Moving along, Baltimore Ravens edge out the Miami Dolphins 26-23. Now,
it was a great game.
Yeah.
One of the games of the week.
Joe Flacco, kind of a bad day for him, a 73 passer rating, 19 of 32, 269 yards, no touchdowns and an interception. Ryan Tannehill, 21 of 40, 307 yards, one touchdown. Looking at the receiving stats, the rushing stats. We're not even going to talk about the rushing stats for the Miami Dolphins because the leading rusher had 15 yards. Thank you, Lamar Miller.
Yay.
Ray Rice, 27 of 74 and two touchdowns. And then we look at the receiving stats. Torrey Smith had a good day, six grabs, 121 yards, no touchdowns. Tandon Doss, three grabs for 58 yards. Yeah. Who?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Marlon Brown was out in this game.
So we'll call that a good day for Tandon Doss. Miami Dolphins, Mike Wallace, seven grabs, 105 yards. Charles Clay in this game, three grabs for 52 yards and a touchdown. Other than that, really nothing to talk about. I mean, Brian Hartline, where'd he go?
Blame it on the Hartline.
I just lost it. There it is.
It's okay. Hartline doesn't even know what he did.
Yeah. Four grabs for 60 yards, and he's supposed to be the big draw over there right now in Miami.
Right.
So, playing quite pedestrian. Seattle Seahawks lose to the Colts 34-28. That was a good game, too.
Yeah.
That's a big statement game for the Colts as they beat the best defense in the NFL in the Seattle Seahawks.
And the Seahawks in back-to-back weeks have played two teams from the AFC South that are potential. I mean, obviously, right now everything is going through Denver, but two teams that could possibly be Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
I think Seattle right now, in my eyes, still is the class of the NFC.
Yeah, well, they got to start stepping it up if they want to remain that class of the NFC, though.
Right.
Russell Wilson, bad day. 15 of 31, 210 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception, which I guess you really can't say it's a bad day. It's actually pretty average for him except for the
interception.
The 16 incompletions. Andrew Luck, 16 of 29, 229 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions.
Really quick, SportingNews.com is just reporting that Adrian Peterson is definitely going to play today. And in a statement that he released, I quote, "Football is something I will always fall back on. Just being around the guys in here, that's what I need in my life. Guys supporting me, things that I go through, I've said 1,000 times, it helps me play this game to a different level. I'm able to kind of release a lot of my stress through this sport, so that's what I plan on doing." So that was SportingNews.com.
Good for Adrian Peterson, and if you have him on your fantasy team, you can pretty much almost guarantee yourself a win on Adrian Peterson alone. The rushing stats for the Seattle Seahawks. Now, this makes me giggle. Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. 17 rushes, 102 yards. Russell Wilson, 13 rushes, 102 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I know Wilson's got the speed, but you don't expect your quarterback to match your leading rusher. Trent Richardson for the Colts, 18 rushes, 56 yards, no touchdowns. Donald Brown had the lone rushing touchdown in this game. He had six rushes for 37 yards. Look at the receiving stats. Big receiver was Doug Baldwin for the Seahawks. Five grabs, 80 yards. Golden Tate, five grabs, 61 yards and a touchdown. Jermaine Kearse, one grab, 28 yards and a touchdown. Heading over to the Colts, T.Y. Hilton. Thank you very much, because I picked him up that week. Five receptions, 140 yards, two touchdowns.
And we had this conversation after the show.
We did.
Who am I going to start? I said, you might as well start T.Y. Hilton. You don't have anybody else on the bench. And T.Y. goes nuts and keeps the flying teabags undefeated.
That's right. Thank God. Very happy about that, although I'm a little concerned about this week's game, but we'll get into that later on. who are we just talking about? Oh, we're going over here now. Green Bay Packers, they just stepped on the Detroit Lions 22-9.
Packers coming off a bye week. It's a dangerous thing. That 1-2 was an aberration. I think the Packers go on a run now, big time. Even though Joe doesn't like the Packers.
Yeah. Hate the Packers.
You know, I really want to root for the Lions, but you can't root for the Lions against the Packers. It's
no.
just it, it's It's awful. Matthew Stafford, 25 of 40, 262 yards and one touchdown. Aaron Rodgers, 20 of 30 for 274 yards and one touchdown.
That receiving corps is just ridiculous.
Matthew Stafford sacked 5 times.
Yeah.
That's big. I mean, you know, that Packers defense is always good, and they love to rush the quarterback.
Clay Matthews out for at least 4 to 6 weeks now with a fractured thumb. He actually fractured his thumb on Matthew Stafford's helmet. Stop it.
It's
not
funny.
That helmet.
I wasn't talking about that. God. Why is it always got to be dirty?
Why not?
All right. Detroit Lions rushing. Reggie Bush leading rusher, 13 rushes for 44 yards, no touchdowns. Leading rusher for the Packers, Eddie Lacy, 23 rushes for 99 yards. And Randall Cobb also had 2 rushes for 72 yards. Going to the receiving stats. Really, I mean, Brandon Pettigrew and 4 receptions, 59 yards. Tony Scheffler, 4 grabs for 55 yards. Chris Durham, 3 grabs for 30 yards and a touchdown.
Exactly. It shows you what the team would look like without Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
One-dimensional and terrible.
Yeah,
pretty Calvin
much.
Johnson was out that week, and he should be back this week.
He better be back this week. I need points. For the Packers, the leading rushers, well, Jordy Nelson was not the leading rusher, but 5 grabs for 82 yards. Leading rusher was actually James Jones. Four grabs, 127 yards, and a touchdown. It's a big day for him. And we roll on. The Arizona Cardinals, 22. Carolina Panthers, 6. The loss to the Carolina Panthers, for me, is just still lingering and stinging as far as the Giants are concerned. But Cam Newton, 21 of 39, 308 yards, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Apparently, Eli Manning decided to put on Cam Newton's uniform that week. Carson Palmer, 19 of 28, 175 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions.
It was a terrible game all around.
Offensively, it's an abortion, apparently.
It was just yuck. And listen, it happens. You really can't do anything about it. Carolina's just that type of team. They're either going to surprise you and drop 31 points on the Giants, 37 points, or they're going to lay an egg against a subpar team and only score 6 points.
Right. Absolutely. Atrocious. Leading rusher for the Panthers was D'Angelo Williams, 12 rushes for 39 yards. For the Cardinals, it was Andre Ellington, 7 rushes for 52 yards. Rashad Mendenhall rushed for 43 yards on 17 attempts and 1 touchdown. Receiving stats, Greg Olsen, 5 grabs, 79 yards. Ted Ginn, 4 grabs, 78 yards for the Panthers. For the Cardinals, Michael Floyd, 5 grabs for 61 yards. Jim Dray, again, who? 2 grabs, 13 yards, 1 touchdown.
Purple Jesus in the More Like chat room.
Purple Jesus, what's going on, my man?
Amen.
All right. Dallas Cowboys barely lost to the Indianapolis Colts.
What a game.
51-48.
What a game. Listen, if you're an offensive fan, best game you could ever hope for.
Absolutely. 99 points in one game. That's sick.
Tony Romo throws for 506 yards in that game. Has one mishap, and it costs Dallas the game.
And you know what? We spoke about this. Actually, we didn't speak about this. I was watching something on NFL Network, and they were talking about this. This is a monster game for Romo. 25 of 36, 506 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. And they were talking to a former player whose name escapes me at the moment. They asked him, you know, when you were preparing to play the Cowboys, what was the scouting report on Tony Romo? And he said, world of talent, going to have a great game until the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, he always starts to choke. And he said, you know, basically, at this point, it's basically Tony Romo's in his own head. He's concentrating so much on not making that mistake that he still makes that mistake.
Yeah.
So, and you know, granted, I'm happy they lost. I'm a Giants fan. You know, not that it really matters at this point because it is what it is. But Tony Romo is an extremely talented quarterback. But again, he can't pull it together in the postseason. and he always has that choke moment late in the game.
Hey, listen, him and the Kansas City Chiefs defense single-handedly won me my week last week in our league,
right?
In the Friends of the Show league. It's amazing to see him self-destruct in the fourth quarter, and that's exactly what he does. And what you just said is spot on. I will go on record to say that I did predict Peyton Manning's first interception last week.
You certainly did, you psychic you.
Yes, I did. I knew it. Listen, obviously anybody can say, well, it was bound to happen. Yeah, I know it was bound to happen. I'm playing the percentages. However, I said it was going to happen this game. And the Dallas Cowboys secondary, although picked apart, they work in unison quite well with the defensive line.
Right.
And DeMarcus Ware was putting enough, and Jay Hatcher were putting enough pressure on Peyton to force that turnover. Again, grand scheme of things, really didn't mean much because Peyton still had a day.
Right. Peyton was 33 of 42, 414 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Sadly, for this season, it's a pedestrian day for him.
Yeah, yeah. This was their fifth game. Peyton's got 20 touchdowns and an interception. Like, it's just ungodly.
Sick. It's sick is what it comes down to. Denver Broncos rushing stats, no Sean Moreno. 19 rushes for 93 yards and a touchdown. Peyton Manning rushed for a touchdown in this game. First time in 5 years.
Dude.
Second one in his career.
You know it's a good play-action fake when the camera doesn't even pan to you.
They thought Peyton was running to the sideline.
Yeah, Peyton was. It looked like Peyton was running to the sideline. Dude, no one took. Like, even John Fox was like, "Where you going? Oh, there you go." Like, it was just. It was so brilliantly done. He literally you can clock his 40 time on a sundial.
Yes.
So good for him.
and the look on the defenseman. I forget who it was, but the look on the Dallas defenseman at that point. He just started running over towards Peyton Manning like, what the hell? You don't do this.
You don't have the ball, liar.
Stop. DeMarco Murray for the Cowboys, 12 rushes for 43 yards and a touchdown. Going into the receiving stats, Julius Thomas, big monster day for him. 9 grabs, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. Eric Decker, 5 grabs for 87 yards and a touchdown. Wes Welker, 5 grabs, 49 yards and a touchdown. Again, it's just Peyton Manning spreading around the ball.
Yeah, I got Peyton Manning stats up so far after 5 games this year. 198 attempts, 150 completions. He's completing at a 75% clip right now.
He has 40 incompletions? That's it?
48.
48 incompletions.
48 incompletions.
There are quarterbacks who could have that in a game.
Yeah.
Wow.
20 touchdowns, 1 interception. 1,884 yards. And that's in 5 games. So now 1884, trying to round it up to 2,000. Let's just say it's 2,000 after 5 games. 5-10, 15, you're looking at close to a 6,500-yard passing season.
Yeah.
That will shatter records.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
And you're looking at about 65 touchdowns on top of it.
As long as he throws 52. I don't want Tom Brady to ever own that record ever again.
I got to be honest with you. With the way the Broncos are playing right now, they don't look like they can be stopped at this point.
Offensively, you're right. And that's the big thing. They can put points on the board. The problem is, can the defense keep points off the board? And
not against the Cowboys, they can't.
Exactly. And the Cowboys are the first team that, besides when they played Philly, that they really matched a team that can equal their firepower.
Right.
If Romo was on Philly... Philly's on the caliber of Denver. I don't consider Michael Vick a caliber quarterback anymore.
No. Michael Vick, again, he's a great mobile quarterback. Let me not say he's a great mobile quarterback. He's a good mobile quarterback.
Right.
Going on to the receiving stats for the Cowboys. This is insane. Jason Witten, 7 grabs, 121 yards, a touchdown. Dez Bryant, 6 grabs, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns. Terrence Williams, 4 grabs, 151 yards, and 1 touchdown. And then we go down to Cole Beasley, 4 grabs, 47 yards, and a touchdown. That's 3 receivers over 100 yards. That doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
No, when you throw for 500 yards, you're doing something right.
Oh, much agreed.
And Jason Witten has really stepped. I mean, Jason Witten's always been great, go Volunteers. But he's shown I've always said it. Tight ends are the quarterback security blanket, and this is no different.
Absolutely. All right, we got to get through four more games real quick. San Francisco 49ers smack around the Texans 34-3. What's up with your Texans, Chris? Second year in a row, they're kind of letting you down. Except this time they're doing it much earlier in the season.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I need them this week. I got them in the suicide pool. I don't know. Matt Schaub has been a shell of himself. They pulled him in this game. Listen, this is where football fantasy and reality come in to clash way too much. People from the Houston area that are fans of the team actually found out where Matt Schaub lives and went to his house to confront him.
Yeah, apparently it came out originally from NFL.com that the fans were there apparently screaming expletives at him, and then he came out the next day and said, no, that never happened. I can't, allegedly NFL security was called. I can't imagine that they would make something like that up.
Exactly. Exactly.
He was 19 of 35 for 173 yards, 3 interceptions.
Matt Schaub is a serviceable quarterback that can get the job done. He's the best play-action passer outside of Peyton Manning in the league. But I don't know. I wish I had a grand answer for them. I try to play GM in my head all the time, and I think it may be time for a change with Matt Schaub.
Yeah, and I don't know if TJ Yates is the answer.
No.
But, well.
Ride out Matt Schaub for the season. Either get a guy in free agency or draft one of the plethora of quarterbacks that are coming out.
Right.
Johnny Manziel.
who's the other guy plays on Louisville?
Teddy Bridgewater.
That's it.
Bridgewater's going to go top five. I don't see Houston being in the top five. Texas A&M, Houston, Texas, Johnny Manziel, hometown kid. The only other person I would give a shot
but
to.
But he's a troubled kid.
Listen, and Matt Schaub is a wallflower.
All right.
So maybe the kid that they actually just picked up, undrafted rookie out of Houston, Case Keenum, if they continue to fall by the wayside, I think Case Keenum makes an appearance this year.
All right. Going on to the rushing stats, Arian Foster, 21 rushes for 98 yards, no touchdowns. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention Colin Kaepernick's passing stats. You ready for this? Sit down, this is a big day. Six completions, 15 yards. 15. All right, let me try this again.
Please.
Six completions, 15 attempts, 113 yards.
That's been Kaepernick all season.
He had 442 yards in his first game, 414 yards in the next four.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm not sold on San Francisco this year.
If they had Alex Smith, just saying. Frank Gore, 17 rushes of 81 yards. Going on to the passing stats, big passing day for the Texans was Owen Daniels, 6 grabs for 60 yards. Arian, he goes down with an injury too. He's going to be out for about 3 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson didn't do much, which hurt me. 3 grabs for 39 yards. Going on to the 49ers, leading receiver was Vernon Davis, 3 grabs, 88 yards, and 1 touchdown. So we are actually going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we will finish out. We have 1, 2, 3 more games to go through. Okay. So you're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on morelikeradio.com, and we will be right back after this.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420. only on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
The Elvis and Alfred Show. Thursdays, morelikeradio.com, 5 to 7. I'm Elvis Cage.
I'm Alfred.
I'm Jameson. And on the phone?
It's Bill. I'm phoning it in.
Oh, he's phoning it in. Coming to you live from the Halfpenny Pub in Sayville.
That's right. Punk rock music.
Independent music.
And all the rest of the things that we speak about.
Crazy party stuff.
Yeah. Here on morelikeradio.com.
And elvisandalfred.com 24-7.
Yarr!
The Elvis and Alfred Show.
Do you have an unusual growth on your genitals? Did your significant other dump you? Lust and Love, where we might not be able to help you, but at least we'll get a good laugh at your expense.
Lust and Love, Mondays from 10 to midnight on morelikeradio.com.
Morelikeradio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Welcome back, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon. I just want to give a quick shout-out to Sully in the chat room. Congratulations to him on the birth of his godson.
Absolutely.
Today he's actually not going to be live. There's going to be a best-of show coming up after us. But congratulations, Sully. The baby's beautiful to you and your family.
And a quick shout-out to my co-host. Happy birthday, belated.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am now
21.
I'm now a gentleman of a certain age, and I don't know that I'm actually a gentleman. But
21 plus.
Are you over 30 yet?
I'm way over 30.
Oh my god!
I'm giving reach around the 40 right now, Joe. So we're gonna move on now. We're gonna start with the Oakland Raiders, San Diego Chargers. Raiders beat out the Chargers 27-17. Now this was the game that was actually moved to the later time because of the playoff game between the Raiders, the Oakland A's, and I forget who they were playing.
It doesn't matter. It's
irrelevant.
Baseball.
Yeah.
I wound up staying up, pat myself on the back for 3 quarters.
Did you really?
I got to about 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30, and I'm like, I can't no more.
Because of my advanced age, I really didn't catch much of the game at all.
I tried so much to stay up for this game. And people are like, dude, it's Oakland and San Diego. It doesn't matter to me.
It's football.
It's exactly. If the game started at 10:30, I would have been perfectly fine. I would have been up for the whole thing.
Right.
That 11:30 start was a killer. Not much to talk about in this game. Philip Rivers did throw for over 400 yards.
35 of 48 for 411 yards, 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Terrell Pryor had a decent game, though.
Terrell Pryor is giving, if healthy, because he can run into RG3 syndrome.
Right.
If he stays healthy, Terrell Pryor is giving Oakland a reason to not draft a quarterback in the first round next year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually playing pretty well. 18 of 23, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's a good game for him.
Yeah.
The rushing stats were just God awful if you were the Chargers. Danny Woodhead, 9 rushes, 17 yards. That was their leading rusher.
Yeah, I think Ryan Matthews got hurt in this game.
I believe so, yeah. He had 3 rushes for 8 yards. Going over to the Raiders spread it around pretty evenly. Rashad Jennings, 10 rushes, 41 yards. Marcel Reese, 7 rushes, 32 yards. And Terrell Pryor, rush for 31.
What a surprise that Darren McFadden is out again. Can we stop with the Darren McFadden experiment now? It's over. It's over and done with. Yeah. He's a bust.
Yeah.
He's a bust because he can't stay healthy.
No.
Guy's a carton of eggs. It's stop it now.
Very sad because he has purple Jesus. God bless.
It should be God.
It should be. God bless Danny Woodhead, my fantasy stud this year. Not this week, he wasn't.
Knowing Purple Jesus, he had a long night last night.
Going on to the receiving stats, Danny Woodhead, 9 receptions, 58 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, Woodhead is the quintessential two-way back.
Right.
Catch it out of the backfield. Run on usually a really good third down back, good change of pace back, but when Ryan Matthews goes down, he shouldn't be your every carry back.
No, absolutely not. San Diego Chargers, Vincent Brown, 7 grabs, 117 yards, and then Keenan Allen, 6 grabs, 115 yards on a touchdown. Antonio Gates had 74 yards receiving in this game also.
Keenan Allen is going to be everybody's fantasy sleeper pickup this week.
Nah, not for me. I have plenty of receivers. I need running backs. But
and that I can help you with.
Yeah, I know. You're finally in a situation like me.
Yeah.
Going on to the Oakland Raiders, Denarius Moore, 5 grabs, 84 yards, and that's pretty much it. 1 touchdown. Rod Streeter, 3 grabs for 56 yards and a touchdown, and nobody else really did anything in that game.
No one else matters.
True. How about this game, Chris?
Yeah, Monday we need to talk game. About this game.
Monday night's game. New York Jets, 30. Atlanta Falcons, 28.
There's a few things we need to talk about in this game.
All right, let's go through the stats first. Before,
please.
Because I know what your rant is about.
Yes.
It happened at the very end of the game. So we're just going to start off with this. Geno Smith, 16 of 20, 199 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Beautiful game.
Absolutely. Matt Ryan had a good game, 36 of 45, 319 yards, 2 touchdowns. Your rushing stats for the Jets, Bilal Powell, 12 attempts for 38 yards. That's the leading rusher. For the Falcons, Jaquizz Roberts, 14 rushes for 43 yards. I'm dreading going into this.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the receiving stats. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Curley, 5 grabs for 68 yards for the Jets and a touchdown. Jeff Cumberland, 3 grabs, 79 yards and a touchdown. Kellen Winslow, 1 grab, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. Oh, yeah, 4-game suspension. We'll get into that in a bit.
Way to go, stupid.
Yeah.
You had one chance. You had one job.
Unbelievable. Going on to the Atlanta Falcons. Julio Jones, 8 grabs, 99 yards, no touchdowns, and out for the season.
Yes. Roddy White also.
Yep. Jason Snelling, 5 grabs, 10 yards, and a touchdown. Levine Toilolo?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, no. He 2 grabs, 15 yards, and a touchdown. All right.
You forgot somebody.
Yeah, no, I didn't forget them. I was trying to just skip it.
Forgot him.
Tony Gonzalez, 10 receptions, 97 yards. Chris, let your rant begin.
All right. First of all, I'm going to say thank God the Jets won this game only because, well, the first reason is 194 people that were in the suicide pool took Atlanta.
Wow.
We went from 390 people down to 174 because of this one game.
Wow.
And that's the thing. And everybody thought everybody was going to take Denver this week against Jacksonville, but everybody that's left has already taken Denver.
Right.
So that leveled the playing field. In a suicide pool, if you've never done it, you need that one game that's a huge upset that knocks everybody out.
Right.
How long have we been doing this show?
Oh, well over a year.
Okay. And I've been doing it for about close to 3.
Close to 3, right.
How much do I love John Gruden?
You despise John Gruden.
Okay. If John Gruden died in front of me, I'd laugh.
That's awful.
That's first. And I'm going to curse. If there's anybody listening to the show that has kids around, either squat the kids away, okay?
Or just mute us for a moment.
Exactly. First of all, fuck John Gruden.
Oh.
Okay? That's first of all. All
right.
I cannot stand. He clings on to certain guys. And Dan Dierdorf is the same way with his hatred of the Giants.
Right.
He cannot stand the Giants. Troy Aikman and all of them. They don't like the Giants, but they're unbiased.
I wouldn't say that, but okay.
Well, not towards them. I mean, they play reach around with the Cowboys anytime. Dan Dierdorf, screw him too. This placating glory hole jerk fest of Tony Gonzalez is fucking nauseating.
In Tony Gonzalez's defense, he is quite possibly the greatest tight end of our time.
Okay.
Okay.
However.
Okay.
Just because you're the greatest doesn't mean there should be a line that's waiting for you with their on their knees.
No, this I'm not gonna dispute that.
Just, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to cut you off.
No, no.
Everything he did in this game, John Gruden was cleaning semen off of his mouth.
Wow.
Okay? I cannot stand... Exactly, Purple Jesus. Chucky. I can't stand it. I can't stand... Listen, we know he's good. We get it. We get it. But the nonsense of the guy shits the wrong way and everybody wants to fucking bronze it and put it in Canton? No, there's no reason for it. He's good. He's good at what he does. But when he's gone 10 and 15 years from now and he still has never won a Super Bowl, I don't want to hear about him anymore. I'm done with it.
Okay.
He's a man among boys at certain aspects. He's revolutionized the tight end position, but there is not one time that he's done anything meaningful for a team. He has never put a team over the hump, ever, and he will never. There's talks about him getting traded to New England this year, right before the trade deadline. Okay. Why? Just to get him a fucking ring? No.
It's not going to happen with him. It's not going to happen with New England.
No. Or bring him back to Kansas City. Not going to happen in Kansas City either.
No.
The only chance you have is trading him to Denver right now.
And they've already got a very serviceable tight end.
Fuck John Gruden. Fuck Tony Gonzalez. Honestly speaking, and I said it on Facebook, if Tony Gonzalez died in his sleep, happy guy.
Wow.
End rant.
You want a hug?
No. No. Right. I just don't want to hear about him anymore.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are going to have to hear about him for the remainder of the season.
Thank God it's only 1 year. Should have retired.
Well, you never know. With the way things are going, he may come back next year just for a shot.
And Brett Favre, too.
No. No. No.
I'm fine now. I'm fine.
All right. You look a little relieved.
It's like a good BM.
All right. So the week 5 games are over now. We're going to go into week 6. Jesus. Thursday night game. New York Giants drop yet another one. Yeah. This time to the Chicago Bears. They lose 27-21. Now, they played decently throughout the game. Early, 2 interceptions in the first 5 minutes. Never a good thing, Eli. You got to stop that nonsense.
2 interceptions in the first 5 attempts.
5 attempts, excuse me.
Well, 5 minutes, too, basically, the way it broke down.
Oh, okay. All right, well, whatever. Don't judge me.
I'm not.
Eli Manning, 14 of 26, 239 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Yes, we mentioned the first 2. We'll talk about the third one later because I have my opinions about it.
Of course.
Jay Cutler, 24 of 36, 262 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm very thankful that I don't like Jay Cutler as a quarterback, but I'm very thankful he's my backup because he's going to be very serviceable in Week 9 when Peyton Manning takes
Absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely. It was a good pickup at you.
It was drafted.
I'm saying it was a good draft.
Yeah. That was actually drafted by the computer. I was in auto draft at that point.
Thank you, Hal.
rushing stats, Brandon Jacobs. Hey, welcome back to the NFL, pal.
Seriously.
I actually dropped him a few weeks ago because they weren't using him, and by the time I went to go pick him back up, oh, look at that. Tracy had him.
Tracy swooped in.
Yeah, good for you, Tracy. 22 rushes, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. Leading rusher for the Bears was Matt Forte, 19 rushes, 67 yards. No rushing touchdowns for the Bears at all.
And Darrell Scott, who didn't have a game really much of a game at all for the Giants, was dropped. And 3 days later, after they found out about David Wilson, was picked back up by the Giants.
Yeah.
They kind of scrambled like, oh, shit, if we don't get somebody.
We got nobody because Brandon Jacobs is old.
Yeah. I have a question for you after this before we go into the rest of the Week 6 games.
Sure. We'll go into the receiving stats for the Bears first. Brandon Marshall, 9 grabs, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. Big game for him. Martellus Bennett coming back and haunting the Giants. 6 receptions, 68 yards. Matt Forte also had 44 yards receiving. Going into the receiving stats for the Giants, Hakeem Nicks, 4 grabs, 70 yards. Victor Cruz, 4 grabs, 68 yards. Reuben Randall, 3 grabs, 75 yards. Hey, look at that. You were actually spreading the ball around like a Manning should. No other really standout receiving stats. Brandon Myers, I have an issue with him. Okay?
Yeah.
That last interception, first things first, I missed most of this game. I was commuting home from work. I get to the ferry terminal. I see the Giants are down 14-7. I watch them tie the game. I'm like, that was an actually well-sustained drive. Thank God for that. Looking good. Happy, happy.
Right.
I get on the boat 25 minutes later. I check my phone. Giants are losing 27-14 going into the half. Will is no longer happy. I get home. Giants are down 27-21. I turn on the TV, and I'm like, okay, we got time. And
I watched this chance.
I watched this drive. There was 5 minutes left in the game. Giants were driving down the field. I'm all excited. I'm like, look at this. They're looking good. They're looking good. We can pull this out.
Right.
Then Eli Manning throws the pass to Brendan Myers.
Which should have been caught.
Goes through his hands. I'm gonna get into that in a second. And right away, goes through Brendan Myers' hands, gets intercepted. Immediately, I don't know who the NFL commentators are. I don't particularly like them. Right away, it was said, oh, you got to put that one on the receiver. Not Eli Manning's fault. You, sir, are incorrect. Okay? Brendan Myers is a tight end. He's not Tony Gonzalez. He's not Antonio Gates. Those guys can jump up and get the ball. They're former basketball players. Brendan Myers is not. Okay? Yes, the ball hit Brendan Myers' hands. It went through his hands. His hands were just way too soft at that point. It was like hot butter. It slid right through. So part of the responsibility has to go on Brendan Myers. The other part of the responsibility has to be put on Eli Manning. Has to be. Okay? There's no reason to throw the ball that high in that situation. You put the ball barely in his reach. Okay? There was no reason to throw the ball that high. There was no defender in front of him. The defenders were behind him, which is why the ball was intercepted as it went through Brendan Myers' hands. Eli, you have to stop this. You're constantly throwing the ball high. You look worse than your rookie season right now. You look worse than your rookie season right now. This is a travesty. The Giants right now, for me, extremely hard to watch. Extremely hard to watch. I don't know what the answer is. Chris, do you think maybe the Giants should sit there and say, hey, Eli, take a seat. Let's see what this kid Nassib's got.
I don't know if it's ego that far yet. Yet. Realistically speaking.
He's got like 20 interceptions.
Right, but realistically.
He's got one interception for every touchdown his brother has.
Realistically speaking, they're only two games out of first.
Depending on what happens today.
Right. Realistically.
We'll say 2.5.
Right. I saw signs in that game. I saw flashes of potential. The lack of running game. The lack of an Ahmad Bradshaw this year, hurt or not. Who knows if that would have happened if he was with the Giants.
Of course it would have happened every year.
I think the lack of a true running game is hurting them. And they invested a lot of stock into David Wilson, and that's fizzling out. Okay. Brandon Jacobs cannot sustain a 100-yard game every week. It's not going to happen.
No, he's too old.
Right. I feel, and I see where you're coming from with the pass. I personally feel that ball should have been caught. I understand
if it hits a receiver's hands, it should be caught every time. I agree.
Okay. Was it a high throw? Yes, it was way too high. Unless you're Shaquille O'Neal, that ball's not getting into your numbers. I understand that. I just feel that Brandon Myers should have caught that pass. I think there's been a lot. Listen, Giants have laid a lot of eggs this year. Can't do anything about it. You get shut out against Carolina. These things happen. You know, it's part of football.
The saving grace. Two quick stats. Giants have not been 0-6 since 1976. That's 37 years. I know it's the year I was born. And thankfully, they stopped the streak at 5 when it came to giving up 31 points or more in a game. The last team to do that was the Chicago Bears back in 1954.
The defense looked better. Amukamara had a decent game. Will Hill was completely undressed by Brandon Marshall the entire game.
You know what, Brandon
Marshall's a freak of nature.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about that.
Right.
Listen, my question to you, besides Ryan Nassib being the potential suitor to come in if Eli keeps shitting the bed, you're 0-6, you're the Giants GM. Do you phone it in this year and look for a 4-12 season or a 2-14 to be in the top 10 for a draft pick?
At this point, I don't think you're going to have to phone it in. I think it's just going to happen.
Well, the Giants have three games coming up the next 3 weeks that they have legitimate shots to win. Legitimate. And I'm not saying it to...
I don't think they beat the Raiders.
I think they do.
I don't think they do. With the way they're playing right now, if they show me something next Sunday's games, mm-hmm. I might believe that they can beat the Raiders, but I don't believe it right now.
That's fair. That's also you being... It's also you being a little bit of a sour Giant fan because of how shitty they've played.
To a certain extent, but at the same time, when I'm watching Eli Manning throw 20 interceptions in the first 5 weeks, you can't blame me.
No.
I mean, some of these interceptions, he's throwing right to a defender.
Oh, yeah. Some of them, there's just no excuse. Is that it, though?
That's all the games. We actually got to get into the previews. We're running a little long here. Let's take a quick break, regroup, wet the whistle, and we will come back and we will preview the coming week's games.
And Pros versus Joe.
And Pros versus Joe. Ooh. Yeah. Yay. All right.
Joe's like, finally, I get to talk.
What did I do last week?
We'll get to it after the break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We'll be back in about 3.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the... Oh!
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude, ew. Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast? Not fast.
I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe.
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Hey.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Best-selling show.
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Fleet Speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Yay.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, followed by The Sully Show from 12 to 2. You could also check either Chris or myself out every Tuesday on the Ham Radio Show from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We call in doing the NFL picks and punishment for them. We get to pick the five games that they have to bet on. And, well, the bet was actually solidified. Whoever loses actually has to bare-ass kiss the winner.
Yeah, but there's a lot of backroom negotiating going on right now. And as the commissioner of this, apparently, I've been newly anointed commissioner, I'm trying to get involved in some of this stuff.
That's
so,
right.
I think I got to start talking to Joe on the side to get him some wins.
Not only that, let me negotiate whose ass I got to kiss.
No, what I got to do is I got to make sure I pick easy games for Joe.
Yeah. You know what I tried to do the couple of weeks I did it? I tried to make sure I picked games with animals involved because I want to hear Joe rationalize this.
Yeah, I like strong animals.
Can't pick a game from Texas because whatever. By the way, the Sully Show this week is actually a best of because it's the birth of his godson.
Godson, yes.
Okay, congratulations. Yet again. All right. Pros versus Joe. Joe was asking what the standings
are.
Oh,
wait a second.
Joe went 3-2 last week.
Oh, 3-2 is good.
He's sitting at 13-12.
Yeah.
I went 4-1 last week.
Wow,
I'm sitting
very
at
good.
14-11. Will went.
How am I doing?
Will went 4-1 as well. And still has the three-game lead over Espo. We're sitting at 17-8.
Yeah.
We picked two games different last week. We split them. That was the issue. So right now, Will is 17-8, has a three-game lead over me at 14-11, and has a four-game lead over Joe. Joe is sitting at 13-12. I'm still proud of Joe for being above 500 right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Did my upset of the week come in?
What was your upset of the week?
Joe? I have no idea.
Okay. I can't tell you if you don't know.
Okay. Okay. I'm lucky I'm breathing right now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I just, as I logged into Facebook, I just found out a good friend of the show, Dustin, it's his birthday today. So happy birthday,
happy
Dustin.
Happy birthday, Dustin.
Happy birthday to you.
Only the greats are born in October. Mm-hmm. Just putting that out there.
Damn it. Yeah. I was so close. Born in May. Anyway, week
it's
six.
Not even close.
I know. Shut up. All right. First game of the week, not a pros versus Joe game. First game of the week is Kansas City at home, 7.5-point favorite against Oakland. If you're going straight up or spread, it really doesn't matter. I think Kansas City wins this game.
Yeah, I think Kansas City wins this game by about 10.
And Kansas City wins this game. We'll go to 6-0, hopefully. Okay, we have another non-pros versus Joe game. Philadelphia on the road, 2.5-point favorites against the Tampa Bay Mercer. Did you hear about this?
Jesus,
they're up to four people now?
Yeah. You know what, man? They really got to clean that locker room.
How great would it be is if they just changed the logo from the skull, like the skull, just something with lesions on its face, like falling
like
off.
A leper. Like,
exactly. The Tampa Bay Lepers.
The Tampa Bay Lepers.
Way to go. Someone, can someone scrub that bathroom?
Yeah, they got to do something. I mean, that's just awful. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mercer, it goes around, but... You know, once one person gets diagnosed with it, you got to do something.
Yeah. Tampa Bay clap.
Ooh.
Maybe they're homosexuals and they kiss.
Jesus.
Could be.
Okay.
Okay.
And there goes the show circling the drain.
Tampa Bay shower rape, apparently.
All right, so I'm just going to start off. I think Philadelphia wins this game handily.
Well, I was going to say
even
Tampa
with Nick Foles.
Tampa because no one wants to tackle them because they're going to get sick. I'm going to take Philly.
Oh, well, I'm betting on some limbs falling off during the game from the Lepers. So.
Doug Martin goes for a stiff arm. There's nothing left to him. His whole arm disintegrates.
Gets stuck to the guy's chest.
Oh, it's like Treehouse of Horror. All right. Again, non-pros versus Joe game. I can't take any games with Green Bay in them. Why, Joe?
A bunch of fags.
Exactly. Okay. So
did you see the Camel Soup commercial that the Green Bay Packers are doing?
Yes.
Yes, they actually have their mother there. A bunch of fairies.
Well, that was the Chunky Soup's been doing that for quite some time now.
Yeah,
they've been doing the moms.
They're eating that cheeseburger soup.
Joe didn't pay any attention until it was a Green Bay Packer.
Right.
Let's just throw that out there right now.
Absolutely.
Not at all.
Commercial. Bunch of fags.
Pretty much, yeah.
So Green Bay's on the road this week. 3-point favorite against Baltimore. I think Green Bay wins this game.
I think Green Bay wins this game and actually covers the spread also.
Green Bay's going to wind up winning that division. They're starting to roll.
Yep, they're getting hot, so you know you got to watch out.
They cannot win. Put a curse on them.
You're hoping they don't win, Joe. That's the difference.
It's a curse.
Joe's the only person I know that'll go dig up Lombardi's grave and skull fuck him. Anyway.
I like the one with Jimmy Hoffa.
Unbelievable. All right, first pros versus Joe game.
Ah.
We have Detroit on the road. 2.5-point favorite against the Cleveland Browns. Both teams sitting at 3-2. We'll start with Joe.
Wow, the Cleveland Browns and are they the Tigers, Detroit?
Lions.
The baseball Lions. Team is the Tigers.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to go with Detroit because it's a down-and-out city, and they play pretty tough when they're down-and-out, so let them go.
All right. Okay. So you're going with Detroit?
Detroit, yes, Detroit.
All right. You know, this is actually, a few weeks ago, this would have been a real easy game to pick.
Exactly.
This is a very difficult game to pick, and I damn you for picking it.
I picked some doozies this week.
Good. I'm glad. I actually like a good challenge. Wow. Well, Megatron should be coming back this week for Detroit, so I think I'm gonna go with Detroit also.
Ooh.
Okay. As am I.
We're simpatico.
Yeah.
We're all simpatico for this game.
Yeah.
Okay, we will rise or fall together.
Yes, sir.
I think Detroit has too many options on offense, even without Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, but you saw how one-dimensional they became when they didn't have Calvin Johnson last week. And with the way Cleveland's been playing lately, they've been lighting it up unexpectedly.
The one thing I'm worried about is Willis McGahee against the Detroit defense. I think McGahee has a big day. That's the only thing I'm thinking. Actually,
yeah.
I'll get to him when we do our fantasy segment.
Okay. All right.
All right. Next game up, Minnesota at home. Heavy hearts, 2-point favorite against Carolina. I think Minnesota makes this game not even close.
Minnesota's going to make this game a laugher.
Yes.
And it's all going to be Adrian Peterson.
Exactly.
No question.
Okay. We have pros versus Joe game.
Ooh.
Houston. 7.5-point favorites at home against St. Louis. I already know who Joe's going to pick because you got to pick anybody from Texas.
Absolutely. You are correct, sir. I will take Houston because they are from Texas, and everybody knows that you could play football in Texas.
All right. I have a little more insight on this.
They have a gun in Texas. If you don't play, they shoot you.
Okay. Well, I think that this is actually my game that I picked for the suicide pool. I took Houston this week.
Ooh.
I don't see Houston losing 3 games in a row. I don't see them losing a second game in a row at home. And I don't see Matt Schaub having nearly as bad a week last couple of weeks as he's had. I think St. Louis has no running game. J.J. Watt is going to get to the quarterback. Houston wins this game by 14.
Ooh, big.
I, too, am going to pick Houston. I don't think they're going to win by 14. Their defense has been fairly atrocious. St. Louis has kind of been on a roll. They're looking like a much better team than they were last year with Jeff Fisher kind of getting everybody on board with his system.
Right.
I'm also going to pick Houston, and I think it's going to be maybe 7, maybe 10 tops. I don't think it's 14.
You guys think this is going to be a high-scoring game, like the over 50, you know?
I don't know.
As he's got every button pressed except for the last one to call his bookie in. Do you think anybody's got any nagging injuries that I got to worry about?
555-432. Tell me, Chris, now.
Now, I think it's going to be like a – I think it's going to be 34-20 Houston. So, yes, it would be over 50
points.
That's
a pretty high-scoring game. Yeah.
So, I'm thinking. I think they finally – I'm hoping Houston wakes up. And I need them this week, big time.
Right.
Okay, so we got – next game, not pros versus Joe. The Jets are home. They're 1-point favorites against Pittsburgh. Upset of the week, Pittsburgh wins this game.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Upset of the week, Pittsburgh wins their first game of the year. Wow. Pittsburgh wins this game by 10.
I don't think so.
I guess Joe Namath ain't playing.
No.
I need this Don Maynard.
Yeah.
Just for the record, too, Joe, Weeb Eubank is no longer the coach.
Oh, yeah.
Good times roll. Do you have receipt, quote unquote, sir?
You know what? I'm going to go Jets on this one. It's a pick'em game. I'm going Jets. Jets right now are rolling the hot, man. Geno's looking good. that Steelers defense is not even close to what it used to be, and I think Geno could have a field there as long as it doesn't go near Polamalu.
I think Geno Smith throws three interceptions today.
Is that going to be your pigskin psychic?
That's my pigskin psychic. Geno Smith throws three interceptions this week, and the Steelers win by 10. That's my pick this week.
All right, you heard it here, Chris.
If
folks.
It happens, and I have yet to hit the lotto, something's wrong. There's a glitch in some matrix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cincinnati on the road, 5.5-point favorites against Buffalo. I don't even think this one's close. I think Cincinnati wins tremendous.
You know what? I don't think Cincinnati's going to win tremendous. They've been playing well against the big-time contenders. They've been playing down to their opponents.
They have Giants syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be close, but I think Cincinnati pulls it out.
Okay. Next game is pros versus show game.
Ooh.
We have the Seattle Seahawks at home, 12-point favorites against the Tennessee Titans. Ooh. That spread is deceiving.
This is a tough
only one. Reason why that spread is 12 points is because Seattle is home. If Tennessee was home in this game, that spread would be 3.5.
Probably.
I'm riding the hand of Seattle though. I'll start it up.
Yeah. Seattle at home. They don't lose at home.
No.
They don't lose at home. That 12th man looms large. So, again, I would have to agree and go with Seattle.
Well, this is my go against the pros.
Oh, boy.
He loves the Tennessee Titans. Him and Mikey would get along.
I'm
going
to go with those Titans because I just think they're, very good.
We got everything on this show, folks.
Joe, your pill kick in?
Yeah.
Pros vs. Joe is brought to you by Cialis.
Well, it'll happen, yeah.
I'm sorry, I got distracted for a second.
I know.
All right, next game up, not pros versus show game, but next game up, Denver at home, 27-point favorites against Jacksonville.
Wow.
All right.
Hold on. For the record, no. All right, any asshole that's thinking, I'm not picking this game against Will again. Like I said, I'm not funding his kid's college fund anymore.
I would bet you $3 million.
Yes.
Right.
And a new pony for Alexa.
I will paint your house.
The last time there was a big spread like this, it was Jacksonville-Denver. Denver was favored by 19. Jacksonville-Seattle, yes. Seattle was favored by 19.
I should know, I lost.
Right, that's right. Chris went against the spread, and Chris went with the spread. I went against it. I turned out to be correct. A 27-point spread. That's impossible for me to even bet on.
Since the first set of expansion teams when Atlanta came in the league, this is the sixth highest spread in NFL history.
Okay.
The last spread to be over 20 points was 2007 Eagles and Patriots. It's the year Patriots went undefeated.
Okay.
And Patriots are favored by...
They didn't go undefeated, by the way.
Regular season, all right? Jaded Giant fan.
No, I can gloat about that. I'm happy.
They were favored by 29, and they covered.
Okay.
They covered in that game. I think they won 42-10, something along those lines. I don't have any numbers in front of me. Anytime a team has been favored by more than 20 points, they have covered every single time.
Really?
Yes. And it's only happened 6 times. This is the 6th time. 5 other times, they've covered. I'm going with Denver in this game. Even with the spread.
Wow.
From what I've watched, and obviously I have not missed a game this year, any game, Jacksonville has no quarterback, no running game, no offensive line, no secondary, no defensive line. They have 1.5 wide receivers, and they have a decent linebacking core. Denver wins this game 56-9. That's the points. That's what I have. That's my second prophecy of the week.
56-9.
Peyton Manning will be out of this game halfway through the third quarter.
I would like you to write this down, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
And it's going to kill us because you have Peyton in our league and I have Peyton in another league.
Right.
But I think he'll throw enough touchdowns in this game.
I think he's going to have like 4 or 5 touchdowns by the half, honestly.
I'm telling you, Denver wins this game 56-9.
Wow. I think Denver wins, no question asked. No question asked. We can piece together 11 guys and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. No, there's no denying that. I have a hard time going with the spread on that one, though.
I'll even go so far to say Jacksonville doesn't see the red zone more than twice the entire game.
Wow.
Jacksonville doesn't get inside Denver's 20 more than twice. I think last week what happened with Tony Romo, even though it is Romo and you cannot compare the Cowboys and the Jaguars,
no.
I think Denver's defensive ego took a shot last week, and this is even more of a statement game for them, just to say, you know what? Yeah, the Jaguars really are the redheaded stepchild of the NFL. Get them out of our face.
Wow. Okay. Hey, listen. Maybe, you heard it here first, Chris. That's two pigskin psychics for this week.
Maybe they should just stay home.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Not show up.
Or we could put them in the SEC and give us Alabama.
Okay.
Ooh.
Give us Alabama. Because basically there's pros on that team all over the place. All
right.
Regardless. Okay. All right. Next game up, not a pros versus Joe game. We have San Francisco at home, 10-point favorites against Arizona. I think San Francisco wins this game. But if I was taking the spread, I would take Arizona.
I would take Arizona with the spread.
I would
absolutely
take Arizona. What do you got straight up?
Straight up, I pick San Francisco, but I would say Arizona covers the spread.
Okay. Pros versus Joe game. New England at home, 2-point favorites against the undefeated New Orleans Saints. 4-1, plays 5-0. I told you, I tried to give a couple of tougher games this week. So,
yeah, you certainly did.
Joe, Patriots, Saints.
The Saints are undefeated, but they're going to lose today. They will lose because God is not on their side.
Okay.
And everybody knows that.
All right.
I'm not saying anything that's unusual. Besides, they're wearing the wrong colors today.
Who's at home this week?
New England.
New England's at home.
That's right. So the other team is wearing white, I think.
And Joe can't pick
New England's anymore. Wearing white.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
God.
They're very hard to see when they wear white. White is like a winning color.
This is how brain cancer starts.
This is how brain cancer starts.
You never know.
Oh, Jesus.
It could happen.
Beginning stages.
Could you send that a little louder? I don't think the audience heard you.
Sorry. This is how brain cancer starts. Joe's scouting report is the budding of a tumor.
Oh. You wait till the Saints lose.
Why'd the Saints lose? They were wearing black. New England's wearing white. Everybody knows this.
Everybody knows this.
Well, who do you have in this game?
I'm actually going to go with the Saints, man. Amendola's supposed to be back for New England this week, but again, he's pretty much all they got. And granted, New England, Brady's been getting on the same page with his young receivers, but I just think the Saints are going to be too much for him this week.
Yeah, I take the Saints also. I think they're going to be one of two teams that stay undefeated, them and the Chiefs, and Denver, excuse me. So three teams are going to stay undefeated this week. I just like New Orleans better than New England this week. I don't – and Gronkowski's not playing.
Right.
Again.
Gronkowski would be the difference maker in this game for me.
Agreed. I think Jimmy Graham goes bananas. I'm not going to put a prophecy on that one, but I think Jimmy Graham's going to – and that's a safe play because he's been amazing all season.
Absolutely.
Okay, we got the Sunday night game, Pros versus Joe, last game of the week. I already know who I'm penciling in for Joe. Dallas is home, 5.5-point favorites against Washington.
No brainer.
Yeah, Joe has the Cowboys.
Absolutely, the Cowboys, especially Washington. They're having so much trouble now. The government's closed. They shouldn't even be playing. Is that Seattle, Washington, or is that?
No, it's DC.
It's
for
I
sure.
Had
they
so
can't
much,
win.
I had so much potential for where he was going. They're having a tough year, and if he would have just stopped there, if he would have put the period right there, I would have been like, "Wow, Joe's done his homework." RG3 is out. I could have piggybacked off that, but he starts with the government shutdown.
Well, it's pressure. They have
you can't dispute that.
You can't. And I think Obama told them that they have to lose to him.
Who do you have?
Since when was Jesse the Body Ventura on our show?
Never.
All of a sudden, Joe's like a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a former governor.
That's right. No, I'm a Navy SEAL.
Don't make me choke slam you.
You're not.
I'm going to leave the impressions up to Ham Radio. Those guys are really good.
Exactly. Exactly.
But Dallas and Washington, I'm going Dallas, man. I think Dallas is hurting right now after that loss to the Broncos. I think they're going to be ahead by enough that when the fourth quarter comes around and Tony Romo decides to choke, I think it's not going to affect them that badly. So I'm going to go Dallas, and I would even pick Dallas with the spread at 5.5.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely take the spread. I'm taking Dallas to win this game. Will and I have picked
every game the same.
Every game the same this week.
Wow, you guys are really like in bed together, huh?
Yeah, and Joe goes different on two. He takes Tennessee against Seattle, and he takes New England at home because they're wearing white.
Right.
So that remains to be seen.
That just means they're virgins.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And
the Saints, you know.
Oh, God. All right, and the last game of the week.
I don't know.
Saints don't wear black.
Last game of the week is the Monday Night Football game. Indianapolis on the road, 1.5 favorite against San Diego. I got Indy in this game. I think Andrew Luck goes banana sandwich.
I have to agree on that one. I think Indy's going to be – Indy's the way to go for me there also. I think Andrew Luck is the real deal. Absolutely the real deal. Phillip Rivers has had a great season so far. Don't get me wrong. But it's just, yeah, I can't go against the culture.
And as always, because our show is on a Sunday, we have to fast forward. For the people that listen to the show show on the replay on Tuesday, we have the Thursday night game, so you can still get your chance in with your bookie. It's Seattle
bookie,
at Arizona.
B-double-O-K-I-E.
Week 7 game, the first game is going to be the Thursday night game, Seattle at Arizona. I don't think it really matters.
If you had to put a spread on this game, what would you put it at? You're much better at this than I am.
I'm going to go 6.5 Seattle favorite in this game. I would 6.5, maybe 5.5.
Okay.
They don't like to give road teams a huge spread, favorite spread, but yeah, I would give Seattle, I'll go 5.5, and I'm going to take Seattle to win that game.
I would take Seattle to win that game. Anybody
who's going to be in the University of Phoenix Stadium, there's about 2,700 tickets available for starting at $9.
Ooh.
Go take the family.
Right then. here's my question. I too would take Seattle, and just because there's no spread available for a Thursday game yet, because today's games have to be played before they put the spread out. What would be the maximum spread you would take Seattle?
6.
Really? So anything over 6, you're going Arizona?
Yeah. I like the home team on certain things, and Arizona plays well at home.
Okay.
And there's talk that Marshawn Lynch may not play today. If Marshawn Lynch doesn't play today, coming back on a short week, he may not play next week.
Gives him a week and a half to rest, though.
Yeah, but the bigger picture on things is Seattle winning that division. If they win today, they don't use him. They don't need him for Arizona. They're going to need him the following week, and I'll tell you exactly who they're playing. They're on a Monday night game in St. Louis. I'd rather have him for that game on the road, give him even more time since it's a Monday night game, than anything. Anything over 6 points, I would take Arizona.
All right. You heard it here, folks. All right, so what do you say? We take a quick little break. When we come back, we will go into our fantasy segment. All right, let's do this real quick. Look at me. I'm over here now. All right, you are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back after this.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Footer from The Red. Make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on More Like Radio.
Following Hippo Jew.
Wait, we're following an overweight banker? What does he do, like a Saul Rothstein? Talking accounting right here on More Like Radio.
No. I said Hippo Juice.
Oh, Juice.
Yes.
I know Hippo Juice. They rule. All right, boom. Listen to Hippo Juice. Then listen to us, 9 p.m. Wednesdays, live.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I would rather go 1 mile down the road than inconvenience men behind me.
Mm-hmm. In my mouth, with my tongue, and testicles.
Oh.
The official statement is fag!
Zach, as far as your routine goes, how
You know, because do you ever, like, do, like, with...
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the more like radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining next?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
I really love NFL Films music, man. This is Sam Spence, the Magnificent 11. Love that action.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. We're on to our fantasy segment, and we got about 20 minutes that we could kind of sit on this.
Go a little bit longer than that, but yeah.
Yay. So, everybody, you have your chance now to make your fantasy changes before the Week 6 games kick off. Besides, listen, if you had anybody for the Giants and the Bears, you're shit out of luck. I can't do anything for you. But we'll start with quarterbacks. Who is your start of the week, Will?
My start of the week? Alex Smith against the Raiders. I think he's going to have a phenomenal day against that defense.
Okay. If you've noticed a trend, you'll see we'll usually get on one game and really pick apart that one game as far as who we're going to take. And we've usually been spot on. My start of the week, no-brainer, Peyton Manning. Like, that's...
You know what? I mean, I essentially wanted picking Peyton Manning every week, and I just wanted to be different. But, yeah, I mean... Let's face it, if you have Peyton Manning on your team and you're not starting him, you're a moron.
Oh, yeah, then you shouldn't be in fantasy.
Right. If you have Peyton Manning riding your bench, you're an idiot and you should be 0-6 at this point.
You should be the Giants.
Right, exactly. And the Week 6 games haven't even been completed yet, and you should be 0-6.
My sleeper of the week, we'll do start, sleep, and then we'll do this sit of the week. My sleeper of the week is Robert Griffin. I think RG3 is going to have a good rushing game against the Cowboys, more so than passing. But, hey, Peyton Manning carved them up for 400 and some odd yards. I'll take RG3 at half of that at 250 and maybe almost 100 yards rushing.
Okay. I was actually going to pick Cam Newton.
Even with everything that's going on, you'll take him as your sleeper?
I would take him as my sleeper because he's not going against Adrian Peterson.
Right.
He's going against a weak Minnesota defense. So I think he could have similar stats to RG3. I think maybe he has a touchdown. Maybe.
Right.
Doesn't happen very often in Carolina right now. but I think he could put up at least 350 total offensive yards by himself this week. I mean, he's thrown for 300 almost a couple of times.
Yeah, that's fair.
This season so far, so why not?
That's fair. My sit of the week is Russell Wilson. I don't like him against Tennessee. Tennessee has played amazing defensively all season. Not to say that, listen, the defense can only do so much. The offense with Ryan Fitzpatrick, yuck, has to get them in the end zone.
Okay.
But I just don't. I think Russell Wilson throws two picks this week, especially with the fact that Marshawn Lynch may not play. And if Marshawn Lynch doesn't play, Robert Turbin is going to be the pickup. And actually, I'm starting him this week. That's how bad my running back situation is.
I'm starting Marcel Reese.
Yeah, it's I have LaShawn McCoy, and then I have about six guys looking at each other going, me? Really? You want me in there?
I can play. I
almost started LaShawn McCoy's backup. I almost had McCoy and Bryce Brown going today.
Yeah, but Bryce Brown would have gotten you at least a couple of points.
Exactly, a couple.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, listen, better than nothing. My running backs, I don't think one has hit double digits yet this season.
Who'd you sit this week?
I'm sitting down Carson Palmer against the San Francisco 49ers.
Really?
Yeah. I think that San Francisco defense is going to be too much for them to handle.
Right.
I actually kind of think Carson Palmer's going to wind up getting hurt in this game.
Ooh, okay. A little Will prophecy.
That's my pigskin prophecy right there.
Will's going to be behind them with the big the big plunger, like the old-school cartoon plunger with the dynamite.
I'm actually going to just go down on all fours behind him and watch somebody just knock him over and hopefully rips an ACL.
Will's on TV doing a touchdown dance.
Do my own little sack dance, look like Mark Gaston.
So who is your start of the week running back-wise?
No Sean Moreno. Come on.
Yeah, here we go. We're going to start running this train.
Yeah. You know what? I very rarely pick anybody else on Denver. So, but yeah, no Sean Moreno, I think, is going to go beast mode against a very poor Jacksonville defense. Oh, Jesus.
My start of the week is going to be DeMarco Murray against the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
I think Murray keeps the trend going. He's been rushing very well. He's done the right thing, is going more north-south instead of going east-west. That's actually brought his numbers up, and when he faced St. Louis, his numbers skyrocketed, and he's kept that trend going. I like DeMarco Murray this week.
All right. I'm going to pick my sleeper. I want to say Danny Woodhead.
Okay.
Although he's been fairly pedestrian over the last few weeks, there's only five running backs that have scored more fantasy points than him.
Yeah, I know.
In the last few weeks.
And he's going to see the bulk of the carries because Mari Matthews is out.
Right.
He's out.
Who you got as a sleeper?
Willis McGahee. I said it before. I wanted to talk about it now.
That's why I didn't pick him.
McGahee, the ageless Willis McGahee. I see him with about 25 to 28 carries, close to 100 yards this week. I don't like Detroit's run defense. I like their pass defense because Sue and Fairley.
Donkey Kong Sue?
Yes. They get to the court. And so does Ziggy Ansah. Ziggy Ansah's been great as a rookie.
Yeah.
So they get to the quarterback, but they don't know how to stop the run. I think McGahee has a good week, but I still think Detroit wins this game.
All right. I'm going to sit down Eddie Lacy in Baltimore.
Yeah, you never want to play the Baltimore defense.
No.
I don't care who's on that
especially
defense.
As a running back. And let's face it, Eddie Lacy's been spotty at best. So you got to kind of – last week going over 100 yards was kind of an anomaly for him.
Right.
So I think he comes crashing back down to earth this week against Baltimore.
Jersey is so itchy. I haven't worn this jersey in like a year. No Sean Moreno jersey.
Oh, look at that.
My sit of the week is Zach Stacy against St. Louis against Houston.
Yeah.
Darrell Richardson was demoted down to second string. Zach Stacy's a little banged up. He's a rookie. He's actually going to get the start this week. I think it's going to be a feast for Houston Texans front seven. Oh, let me change that. I hope it's a feast for the Houston Texans front seven. I got way too much money riding on this. I think Zach Stacy, 15 carries, 35 yards. A real weekday. And Darrell Richardson will probably... Darrell Richardson may outrush him yardage-wise today. And that's not saying a lot if I only have him pegged for 35 yards.
Right. All right. Heading over to the wide receiver position. Who are you starting this week, wide receivers?
Demaryius Thomas from Denver. Yeah,
of course. God, how could you not?
Honestly...
Let's just put this out there. Start everybody on Denver. Again.
Yeah, and if you find anybody on the free agent wire that you've never heard of that they have a Bronco logo next to them, just pick them up.
Pick them up because the second and third stringer is going to be in during the
halftime.
You got
a shot at Brock Osweiler throwing for 100 yards and a touch today.
No, it's true.
Sorry.
It's awful, but it's true.
Jacksonville's going to be sponsored by Bail Bonds.
Chico's Bail Bonds.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking bad news, Bears. I'd really – it's almost a gift and a curse with the Broncos, though, because I could say Demaryius Thomas, and he could have 100 yards receiving, but he may not even be the best one on the team.
Right.
So
– because Peyton spreads that ball.
Exactly. So my start of the week is the Denver Bronco offensive wide receiving core. There
right.
you go. I'll touch all of them.
Yeah, yeah, even the kicker, because kickers need love, too. Justin Blackmon, I think, is actually going to have a decent day, even though he's playing Denver, playing against Denver. With his return, I don't like the Denver defense all that much. Granted, they got annihilated last week, and you said they're going to come back, and they're gonna play tough. I don't think they're going to hold down Justin Blackmon.
And I could see that only because Justin Blackmon did humiliate Cortland Finnegan last week, and Finnegan's on St. Louis, and Finnegan is just as good, if not better, than right now, before I get hate mail, than Champ Bailey, because Champ Bailey's coming back this week.
Right.
This is his first week back. And
right.
That may be his guy, or DRC is going to get him.
Yeah.
My sleeper of the week is T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, God, I hope you're right.
Against Indy. Against San Diego, excuse me.
I was going to say, he plays for Indy.
T.Y. Hilton, I think, is going to have another 80-yard receiving game and a touch.
All right.
I'll
take it.
I don't like San Diego secondary.
Yep. This is the first week in the fantasy league, by the way, that I'm actually scared I might lose. I'm playing my brother. And him and I were the final two undefeated teams. He took a loss last week.
It's a Sweeney Bowl.
And he wants to be better than me right now. So I'm hoping I win. I'm very nervous. I'm picking Steve Smith against the Vikings as my sleeper.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't like anybody in Minnesota secondary right now.
Yeah. The Minnesota defense is just it's not good.
I like where you've gone, though. You've gone Cam Newton as your sleeper, and you've gone Steve Smith as your sleeper. That's good.
Yeah, well, you got to lock him up. Might as well.
Absolutely.
He's got nobody else to throw to.
Amen. I'm playing the Metalheads this week. I'm actually playing Dustin.
Oh, well, listen, you know, it is his birthday.
No, he's not winning. Screw that. I'm sitting here going, wait a minute.
Who's your sit for the week in the wide receivers?
Tavon Austin against Houston, as you could see my trend.
Yeah.
Actually, I think if you're going to start any wide receiver on the team, you start Austin Pettis. Sam Bradford and Austin Pettis have become joined at the hip. Yeah, Tavon Austin's going to have another crap game. And stop with the fact that they think he's a rookie bust. Enough. We get it. He's not. He's not. He's just having a rough go right now.
Yeah, he's got to learn the league. It's tough. I'm torn right now, actually, between Anquan Boldin and DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson's going to be on Revis Island.
Revis Island's look shitty at best this year.
But that's my thing. That's my thing.
Revis Island has a government shutdown.
All right, yeah.
Revis Island is like Zombie Nation. The number of MRSA patients all over the place.
Jesus Christ.
Limbs, lepers and limbs and zombies falling off.
All right, I'll put Anquan Boldin as my sleeper against the Cardinals.
You got, you sit.
Sit, that's what I meant.
Well, you got Patrick Peterson up on Anquan the whole game. And Pat Pete has been great this season.
Yeah.
All right.
Heading over to... By the way, your favorite tight end is off this week.
I was just going to say, look at it. This makes me very happy. I don't have to worry about this jerk.
Well, both literally and figuratively, because Tony Gonzalez and Charles Clay are off. And we know you're a big fan of Charles Clay.
I am. I am a big fan of Charles Clay.
So, all right, who's your start for the week at the tight end position? And don't tell me Julius Thomas.
No, I'm not going to tell you Julius
Thomas.
Thank you. Stop it.
We already covered that.
Jimmy Graham against New England. I don't like New England's linebacking core. I tried to explain this to somebody. That Jimmy Graham is like 6'5", 7-foot wingspan.
He's very tall for a tight end.
And he has 10-foot-high leaping ability as far as he can dunk.
Right.
Okay. All Drew Brees has to do is just throw it up.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Graham's going to dominate. I think Jimmy Graham has another 120-yard day and two touches.
Really?
Yeah. But he's done it all year. That's a safe play for me.
No, yeah. Yeah, I mean, 120 yards, two touchdowns. All right.
He usually, right now, he's on pace 110 yards and a touch every week. Every week. They don't even use him to block anymore.
Why would you at this point?
They have no running game. So, yeah, I got my start of the week is Jimmy Graham.
All right. I'm going to take Vernon Davis against the Arizona Cardinals.
Good good call. Arizona's linebacking corps is horrendous.
Yeah, and Vernon Davis could make good linebackers look bad. He's going to make bad linebackers look like peewee football players this week.
Sleeper for me is Brandon Pettigrew against Cleveland. I think Pettigrew has a decent day.
Greg Olsen versus the Vikings.
Love it. You're going Carolina sleeper, but they're not going to win.
No, they're not going to win. They're not going to win. But look at who I'm picking. I'm picking Steve Smith, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen. So I'm picking the quarterback, his only receiver,
yeah,
and his security blanket.
Yeah, I agree. No, you're doing it the right way.
You know? And you know, I think those are going to be the only three that score any kind of fantasy points. But
who do you sit this week?
Who do I sit this week? That's a fantastic question. Oh, wow. See, I know you picked him as a sleeper, but I would say sit Brandon Pettigrew against the Browns.
Flip a coin with him.
I think Barkevious Mingo is going to said that way for Phil.
I think Pettigrew either gets 70 yards receiving.
Or seven?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Flip a coin. So I can understand where it's kind of like a, hey, I don't know if I should play him or not. I would play.
Okay.
My sit of the week is, keep this trend going, and I think I have to start him this week, Jared Cook against Houston. Another tight end that I just was supposed to have so much upside with Jeff Fisher, and he had one good week.
Right.
And you're playing another tough defense in Houston. Let's keep that train rolling. Will's sleeper this week has been Carolina. My sit this week has been St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
all right.
We got fat kids. Oh, we got fat chicks, kickers, and mopeds.
Right. Right. If you don't know the saying by now, then you're just not a true fan and that hurts.
Kickers are like fat chicks. Fat chicks are like mopeds. Everybody wants a ride. No one wants to be seen in public.
Jesus. I am going to go for the kickers. I'm going to start Sebastian Janikowski against the Chiefs. Okay. I think he's gonna kick some. I figure he's gonna kick probably at least three field goals and probably maybe three or four extra points.
Starting Alex Henry against Tampa.
Okay, he was actually gonna be my sleeper.
Okay. Oh, we're actually gonna keep the sleeper train moving with the kickers.
No, I really didn't want to, but I would have picked him as a sleeper.
It's amazing how much you hate kickers. Yet in an old fantasy league, a kicker won you a bulk of your games.
Yes. What, but at the same time, why can't I remember his name? Used to kick for the Cardinals.
Not Jay Feely.
No.
Matt
no,
Prater.
No. We're going back early 2000s. Purple Jesus with a fantasy question. Sit Dalton, start Bradford?
No. Sam Bradford.
Start the Red Rocket.
Sam Bradford is probably going to throw four interceptions today.
And he may die this week.
Yeah, J.J. Watt's out for blood.
Ivan Draga.
If Sam Bradford could change, and I could change. Sorry. And we all could change. No, dude, seriously. Purple Jesus. No. Start Andy Dalton against Buffalo. I think Bradford has a terrible week. Bradford throws for maybe 200 yards.
Yeah. Who's your sit for the week for the kickers?
Josh Scobie.
Yeah, I was just going to say this.
From Jacksonville.
I really was.
He may not even sniff the field.
Well, he'll see it during warm-ups, but that'll be about it. Well, no, actually, he should get three field goals because you predicted them to get 9 points.
His luck and Jacksonville's luck, Chad Henne's going to wind up kicking the fucking field goals. It's that bad. MJD is so thirsty for points that Jones-Drew is going to wind up kicking the field goals.
Jesus Christ. All right, over to the defense. Christopher, who are you starting this week?
Denver.
No fooling.
Denver. Denver is just, oh, God. I have no other words.
Yeah, you don't need to say anything else. It's just a Denver week. I'm going to pick the 49ers against the Cardinals.
Safe play.
Like I said, I don't think Carson Palmer is going to have a very good game. Probably throws a couple picks. Think he gets injured. And then it's just going to be whoever their backup is getting picked apart.
Sleeper defense, Houston. Fingers crossed. All right. My eyes closed. I think in the Friends of the Show League, I actually added a wrinkle when it came to quarterbacks, that sacks were minus 0.5. You got minus a half a point for a sack. So
thank God Denver's got a good offensive line.
Exactly. And that's the wrinkle that I added, because you needed to pick a quarterback that may not get you amazing stats, but he was going to stay upright.
Yep.
That's why I didn't like a guy like Cutler, because last year he was on his back all the time.
Eli Manning's that on his back a lot this year.
Exactly. So I think Houston gets to Sam Bradford early and often, and Houston would be my sleeper pick.
All right. Not really a big sleeper, but Bengals defense would be my sleeper pick of the week against the Bills. I don't think Jeff Toole is going to have a very good week, because EJ Manuel is still out.
Yeah, and EJ Manuel is going to be out for a little while.
Yeah.
A little while. My sit of the week, no, it's not Jacksonville, because if you have the Jacksonville defense, shame on you.
Why?
That goes right along the lines that someone has the Jacksonville defense and they're starting them and they're sitting Peyton Manning as their quarterback. Shame on you. Bad.
Naughty rookie.
My sit is, if you do have them, the Patriots.
Yeah, see, I have the Patriots defense and the Denver defense. And
you got to start Denver.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay, good.
As a matter of fact, I want to double check my team right now and make sure I actually made that change, because this week's been kind of crazy for me.
Yeah, the Patriots defense against New Orleans is not a good look whatsoever. Who's your sit this week?
I was going to sit New England also. I think the Saints are going to do some terrible things. So, all right, we still have about 10 minutes left in the show. Chris, you said you found something interesting earlier you may have wanted to bring up.
I did?
Yeah. You don't remember what it was?
No, it was the Mercer thing. I got to tie it in.
Oh, okay.
I got to tie it in. I mean, Calvin Johnson is active today.
Andre Johnson is questionable.
And on top of that, this just came down the wire about an hour ago on NFL.com. The Texans will bench Matt Schaub if his struggles continue. I'm in a lot of trouble this week. We got a few minutes. So,
shall we chat?
The survival pool. Oh, and Brian Hoyer for the Browns is on injured reserve, done for the year.
Yeah.
Played 2 weeks. A week and three snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go.
Welcome back, Brandon Whedon.
I'm happy that Matt Cassel's starting again for Minnesota. I think Matt Cassel gives the Vikings the best viable option to win a game.
Right.
The survival pool, you can only pick a team once. You can only bet against a team twice. That's the way it goes. There were so many games this week that I looked at and said, oh, I don't know if I want to play that game.
Right. It's a very tight week.
My friend said, if you have any balls, you'll bet the New England-New Orleans game. And as funny as it sounds, yeah, that would be great, but I still have those two teams. I need to save them for the end of the year.
Right.
But Houston looked to me the best viable option against St. Louis. And I just took St. Louis the week before to beat Jacksonville. That's the way I kind of played the flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, if you had to pick one game this week, besides the Jacksonville-Denver game, because I don't even consider that a game. It's a scrimmage.
If I had to pick one game, I might have picked Minnesota over Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because with the way Matt Schaub's playing, it's sketchy.
Oh, terrific.
It's very sketchy.
Marshawn Lynch is going to start for Seattle. So that means anybody who had Robert Turbin that picked him up, me. Don't start him.
Well, you know what? I would still start him because, again, you got the whole handcuff thing going on. If Marshawn Lynch is injured and he was questionable to begin with, probably means he's not 100%. There's always the risk of injury again.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. If you have Marshawn Lynch, you start Marshawn Lynch. Okay? But he could suffer an injury, and Turbin can wind up coming in and doing a bulk of the carries.
Right.
You don't know. This is the hardest part about being a fantasy owner, because once the game starts, your guy is locked in. So if you have a guy like Marshawn Lynch, and on the first play from scrimmage, he goes out there and he tears his ACL, you're screwed. You're getting no points for the week.
Forget about the week. He had no points for the season.
Well, I'm just saying. But you could adapt your roster for the next week. But that week, you're getting no points. And I've always wanted to kind of start a league where you could have, like, your primary backup, you know, where it's...
They don't let you.
I know.
It sucks.
I know. Where you could have, like, you know, if Marshawn Lynch goes down, my first guy to come in and replace him would be...
His handcuff.
Right. Something like that. But they don't... I've never seen a league that would allow you to do that. And if anybody's good at computer programming, let me know. We can talk. We can work something out.
And we could all make money.
Yay, money.
I haven't really... I don't know. This is what I want. All right, I found more.
Right, there it is.
And I had said come back with the Tony Gonzalez thing. Apparently, according to NFL.com and Kevin Patra, Brett Favre is in great shape, but he's not mulling an NFL comeback. Do we really have to worry about this anymore?
You know what? No. Because I don't think any team... With the way the quarterback situation is looking in the NFL, the trend is going towards a mobile quarterback. Brett Favre... No, not mobile. Okay? He's a traditional pocket passer. He's a gunslinger, which is why he holds the record for interceptions in a career. And Eli Manning may actually threaten that.
In one season.
In this season alone, yeah. You know, there is no place for him in today's NFL. Okay? I don't care that Brett Favre's in great shape. You know, I actually believe he's an assistant coach for a high school team.
He needs to stay away.
I don't think it's really worth mentioning. I think he's going to. I don't think it's worth...
NFL.com brought it up. I figure we got a couple of minutes at the tail end.
No. I'm not disputing that, but I really don't think that Brett Favre coming back is really a viable option for anybody, except for maybe the Vikings.
You're an NFL team that's on the verge of losing your franchise.
Jacksonville.
Exactly. You want to put asses in the seats. Do you go the route? Do you offer Brett Favre money just to sell seats, or do you swallow your pride and sign Tebow?
Wow. yeah. I really don't know. I don't think Tebow is going to be an answer. I don't think anybody wants Tebow. I don't think Tebow's parents want Tebow. No, I'm just kidding. If anything, I would sign Favre, but if those are my only two options, sign Favre. But even then, I wouldn't sign him as a quarterback. I would maybe sign him as a coach, because I really don't. I don't think he can hang in the NFL right now. Even though he's only 2 or 3 years removed from the game, I don't think he can hang with the defense right now.
The only thing I could think of as to why he would want to come back or even mullet is seeing Peyton Manning right now. That's the only thing I can think of. And I'm not saying he's...
Yeah, but he's 7 years older than Manning.
I understand. But I'm just talking along the lines of how he's... His thought process... Well, I could still do that. I could stand in a pocket and throw all day. That's his mentality. We're going to post that question up on Facebook.
Yeah, but I want to point something out to Brett Favre. Yes, Peyton Manning standing in a pocket, throwing all day, but he's throwing to Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker, Eric Decker, and
Julius Thomas. He'd have to go onto a team that has a very stout receiving core.
Yeah.
He would need to, because if you're going to throw him on Jacksonville, you're feeding him to the
wolves.
He's
going to die.
Right.
Literally.
That would be funny.
Literally, he would die.
I also think he's kind of bristling at the fact that Peyton Manning is literally only 2 more years away from breaking his all-time passing record.
Yeah, but even still, I don't think any team takes a shot on Favre no matter what. It's just not a viable option. Get it out of your head, Brett.
No, we'll post the question on Facebook. If you had the option, if you're a failing NFL franchise, or you're a new NFL franchise that's going to be coming to the league next year, it's a fantasy, you know, whirlwind type of situation, and you have to start your team, with either Tim Tebow or Brett Favre, who would you take?
Wow.
And why? And honorable mention to Mark Sanchez, but everybody would take Sanchez only because he could actually throw the ball.
He's actually the most viable option out of the three.
Sad. But yeah, that's going to be the question posed on Facebook.
All right, we'll throw that up a little bit later on. In the meantime, it is time to start doing the wrap-up.
The pluggies?
Pluggies!
First and foremost, we will plug our good friend Phil Rea at T-Buckle T-Backs on Twitter.
Right.
He has a Turnbuckle Throwback show. He's been doing amazing things with the Shining Wizards. He was just at a convention. They had their own table. He got to meet and greet with a bunch of people. I do a show with him on Tuesday nights, the Poke Check podcast, which is all hockey all the time. So if you're tired of hearing my voice about football, just mosey on over and hear me talk about hockey. Phil does an amazing job with that, and I'm happy to ride his coattails, so to speak. You can follow us on Twitter at Poke Check Podcast, on Facebook, and on Twitter, I think it's at Poke Check Podcast. Phil will actually remind me of that one.
Phil, you're still in the chat room. What's your Twitter handle for the Poke Check Podcast?
Circling back to our show, this has been Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. You could find us on Twitter at TNT Espo and at TNT TATTTD Will. Too many T's. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/tattoos and touchdowns. Go to our website, tattoosandtouchdowns.webs.com. If you can't catch the show live, we have a replay on More Like Radio Tuesday nights, midnight to 2 a.m. and Friday afternoons, noon to 2 p.m. We have Sully on right after us, which is actually going to be a best of.
Right.
Will, you got anything?
Don't forget to check out our good friends, Eddie and Hammy. Purple Jesus chiming in. It is Poke Check Podcast.
Poke Check Cast.
Poke Check Cast, excuse me.
That's on at Twitter. Poke Check Cast, right.
Check out our good friends, Uncle Eddie, Hammy, Danny and Billy over on the Ham Radio Show every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
As well as Super Producer Joe C.
That's right, Super Producer Joe C.
That's me.
He actually almost killed Eddie this past week, but...
he touched my stuff.
What'd he touch?
Wires. It wasn't Joe's actual stuff.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No.
Joe didn't get touched. Joe didn't get touched
anything.
In his danger zone.
No, because I had called in to do the NFL Picks and Punishment.
It happened like an hour before you called in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was listening in on my commute to work, and I was just like, oh, wow, Joe's really pissed.
Yeah, he was flirting with death. He really was.
Yeah. You ever hear somebody so mad that when they curse, when they say the F word, they actually emphasize the F, they drag it out for a second, and they punctuate the K? That was Joe. Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, if I could imagine how he looked, you know the cartoons where somebody gets really mad and you see their whole body get red, kind of like an old mercury thermometer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a couple of veins bulging.
He didn't really get a haircut. He got so pissed his hair fell out.
Right, it just burned
and
off.
And it went into a perfect DA quaff going on.
Yeah.
I don't blame him, though, because I get very finicky with my electronics, I totally sympathize with John.
Yeah, and that's why I'm always kind of very careful about where I go. Well, I mean,
do you notice where I keep my liquid?
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near anything.
Yeah.
It's not that he was warned many times. You know, certain things you don't touch.
Yep.
You know, it's I don't even want to go into it. I'm getting mad again.
Right, we got all about right. A minute.
So. All right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think we covered everything. Check out all the shows on More Like Radio, Antisocial Gamer Radio, The Gentleman's Show, Hippo Juice, Brain Stew, Lust and Love. I know I'm not remembering everybody, and I do apologize, but when you have 20-something shows on, it's kind of hard to remember. And we got a new show, actually, The Scoop, I think it's called.
Nice. Have to have a chance to check them out.
Yep. It's another wrestling show added to the network.
We're just good radio.
That's it.
Every show is better than the next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're all awesome, what are you going to do?
Exactly. It's not easy being us.
Week 6, enjoy your games, tattoos, and touchdowns for Will, for Joe, and myself. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. Make sure to put in your bets and pay your bookies.
They are who we thought they were.